Today we begin a brand new summer series. I hope that you can make many of those. It's going to be a lot of fun. Today we're talking about how to lead your family. And not just because it's Father's Day, because we really believe that there are all kinds of families represented in our church. In fact, we've identified 27 different family types, from single adults to young marriage to couples with young kids, older kids, blended families, grandparents, folks who are expecting, folks who are engaged. There's all kinds of family types. And I want you to know that no matter what your family type is, you can learn how to lead in your family. Let me define leadership today for us. A leader, you might want to write this down. This is a definition of leadership that I have shared literally around the world, all different size audience, to pastors, to churches. My definition of leadership is a leader is someone who leads. People have responded the same all around the world when I share that definition. But I'm serious about that. You're not a leader because you have the title dad or father. You're not a leader because you're called pastor or because you're the president of a company or even because you wear a thing that says team lead. You're not a leader unless you lead. It's that simple. You're out there in front of everybody else. You're setting direction. You're setting pace. You're solving problems before anybody else who's following you even knows that they're a problem. You're leading. That's it, guys. Let's go ahead and just kind of flesh that out a little bit more. What does it mean to lead in the family? And I really mean this, guys. Some of you here are students. Some of you here are children. You can still be a leader in your family. You can be the person who's the catalyst to cause your family to be a more God-honoring family. Some of you single moms or single dads, you can be a leader in your home. Some of you single adults, you can lead your home, even though just one of you. It's called self-leadership. All of us can lead. But what does it mean to lead in the family? Well, three things, I think. First of all, to lead in the family means a leader in the home clarifies purpose and cast vision. Is anybody else besides me having a deja vu moment right now? Because last week we talked about what does it mean to be an effective church. And we said it's all about, first of all, understanding our purpose and a compelling vision to go with that. Friends, it's no different for the family. A family needs to know its purpose. And just like I was able to share good news last week that the church doesn't have to come up with its purpose. God has given us a purpose, the purpose of the church, sharing Christ and building believers. God has also given a purpose to the family. Look there, if you will, in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. In Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, verse 9, this is Moses who's speaking to the children of Israel. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Friends, that's the purpose of the family. Now, what's the context here? The context is Moses is saying this to the tribes of Israel. What are the tribes? Tribes are families. They're large, extended families. And they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They're about to move from the wilderness into the promised land. Moses takes the baton of leadership and he's putting it into Joshua's hand as they're going into the promised land. And he's saying, guys, one last thing before you go in. I want to remind all of the families of something. I want to remind you of what it's all about. It's not about you. God is the central character in this story. And you're to love him with your emotions. You're to love him with your intellect. You're to love him with your might. Don't forget that. Now, up to this point, that reminder has been there for them. They have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And every day there's this cloud of smoke that guides them, reminding them that they need to follow God's guidance or they're not going to get out. Every night when they lay their head down on the pillow, there's a pillar of fire to remind them that God is watching over them at night. Every morning when they woke up on the ground, there was manna that God had freshly provided and that he did so every day. But they're leaving the wilderness and there'll be no more pillar of smoke. There'll be no more pillar of fire or cloud of smoke or pillar of fire. There'll be no more manna from heaven. And now they're going into the promised land. In the wilderness, they didn't have iPhones and TV and Xbox 360, but now things are going to change. And there are going to be all kinds of distractions. They're going to be plowing fields, and they're going to be building houses, and they're going to be fighting wars, and it's going to be real tempting to forget that it's all about God, that God is the one that they can depend on, that God is the one that they can trust, that God is the one out of a relationship with Him that brings meaning. And so right before they go into this land of prosperity, this land flowing with milk and honey, He reminds all the families, the Lord God, He's one. Love Him with all of your soul, all of your heart, all of your strength. And He wants to remind the families that are represented here at Lake Point in the same way. And this message has been preserved for you and I for this very day. He's saying to the young single adult who's can get distracted about where they're going to college and what career they're going to go into one day, don't forget, it's all about God, and you've got to keep Him central. If you don't begin with God, you're going to end up in the wrong place. He wants to remind that young couple that's thinking about their first house, and they're looking at plans, and they're choosing drapes and pottery patterns, and they're thinking about that upgrading their car. He's going to say, you know, all that's fine, but don't forget that if God's not the center of your home, it doesn't matter what your house looks like. He wants to remind that couple that has young children that's working so hard to make sure that their children can be experientially rich. They're hiring tutors and coaches and instructors and signing them up for things so that they can dance better and hit the ball further and be academically challenged. And all that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, those parents at some point could cross a line. Moses says, be careful that you don't get caught up and making sure that your child is materially taken care of and intellectually stimulated and experientially rich, but relationally poor. Because nothing that you will ever give your kid is as important as introducing them to their Creator and their Savior. He's saying, love God. Love God. And for the first time, really, for the first time in the entire Bible, we have an emphasis on us loving God. Up to this point, there's some passages about God loving us. There's some passages about us loving one another. But this is really the first time in the Bible that we have recorded that God is emphasizing that we ought to love God. And that's what life is all about, is a relationship with God. That has to be center, that has to be core. Now you can go back to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the commandments are given 40 years before this. It slid there in Exodus 26. It says, and to those who love God and those obey Him, He's going to show His loving kindness from generation to generation. But now He's really drilling down on it. And He's saying, guys, it's not about just passing the rules down to your kids. You know, we received the Ten Commandments 40 years ago, and we've been living under that, and we understand the importance of that. But it's not just about passing that on. Pass on to them a relationship. Because He warns us here that if we just pass on to our kids the rules that God has given to us, then what we have is we have an empty religion if we don't pass on a relationship. Because if we just pass down rules, and what happens is it's about external compliance, and He's saying it's more than that. It's about a passion. Because of a relationship. He's reminding the children of Israel that God's been faithful for 40 years, that He kept His promise, that He did bring them in spite of their hard-headedness and hard-heartedness, that God has brought them to the promised land. And He says, you're going to get in that promised land, and you're going to forget that it was God, that God's one that you can trust. God's doing some new things in my life right now. One of the things that He's doing is He's reminding me that to love God is to trust God. You know, we use the word faith, and sometimes faith is a synonym for the word trust, but I think we've used the word faith so much that sometimes it has a hollow ring to us. We begin to redefine faith, if faith is somehow some kind of feeling that we're trying to conjure up about God or some kind of thinking about God, when really, friends, all faith is trusting God. Knowing God well enough, remembering what He's done for us, that He's given us life, that He's given us salvation, that He's kept all of His promises, that He forgives and that He's patient, and that in the future we can trust Him. And it's become a new motivation for me in my own life as I struggle with sin. As I look at the things that God is asking me to do that sometimes I don't do, and the things that God is telling me not to be involved in that sometimes I fall and I get involved in. That it's not about keeping rules, and it's not about trying harder, and it's not about being a good guy. It's about trusting God. And the question comes to me, can God be trusted? That my life is going to have meaning and happiness and excitement and all that if I do it His way. Can He be trusted? You know, God doesn't need anything from me. He doesn't need anything from you. But He does ask for our trust. Remember the song we used to sing, those of us who grew up in church, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's when we obey Him, it's when we trust Him. And when the Bible here is talking about us loving God with all of our being, that's what it's talking about. It talks about us giving Him the gift of trust. Moses here is reminding the children of Israel that they can be, that He can be trusted. Remember when I was growing up, my parents would tell me to do something, and I would ask the question, why? And anytime I asked the question why, Mom and Dad would always give me the same answer. They would say, because, that's right, I told you so. I didn't like that answer. So I decided I was going to be a better parent than my mom and dad. That when I had kids of my own and they asked why, I was going to tell them why, yeah. And so when I had kids of my own and I told them to do things or not to do things and they asked why, I sat down with them and I shared with them the why of it all. I remember my children, I remember, it's like it was yesterday, they looked up with me with awe and said, oh, Father, Thou art so wise. Concepts and the rationale that You have in alignment with the consequences makes so much sense to us. We shall obey. I made that up. But that didn't happen. People don't obey because it makes sense to them. They don't obey because they have reason. You know, part of what my mom and dad were saying is, hey, you're going to obey because I'm your dad. By the virtue of the fact that I'm your father, you're going to obey me. Out of your respect for who I am and what we've done for you and how we've provided for you and the diapers that we've changed and the food that we purchased, the house we put over your head, we've earned that respect. You know that we love you. You may disagree with the rules that we have made. We may never be able to explain in a rationale that you would accept and that you would agree with. But know this, we love you. And you have to at some point trust us. You know, as your kids get older, really, that's all you got working for you. Have you figured that out? There's not enough money in the world, not enough private detectives in the world, not enough chains or balls for you to control your kids after a certain age. At some point, they follow you because they don't want to disappoint you. They follow you and the rules and the values that you've given because they respect and they love you. It's about relationship. And Moses here is about to hand off the baton to Joshua. The families are about to enter into this new land with a whole new set of other gods and other temptations. And he says, hey, make sure the relationship you have with God is intact. That's the only thing that's going to save you. And I think we have to remind ourselves what the family is about. The family is the primary place where that fire gets stoked. Christian family, where we remind one another. Children remind parents sometimes. Husbands remind wives. Wives remind husbands. Certainly, dads as the leaders of their home, as the God-appointed leaders of their home, needs to clarify that purpose. Guys, what we're here about, we may go on this vacation, we may build this house, we may do this and that, but friends, if we don't do anything else, we're going to love God. And the best thing that you could ever give your kids is an introduction to the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of God. That's what it's all about. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you? Do you have a vision of what a family that really loves God and where the love of God becomes central in that home? Do you have a vision of what that is? You can't cast that vision for your family if you don't have that vision yourself. You may have a vision for your business. You may have a vision for the kind of home you want to be in one day. You may have a vision about your ideal car. Do you have a vision for a God-honoring family? If you don't, if somebody doesn't lead, if somebody doesn't take the point to remind the family what it's all about, then it will wander in the wilderness.